the audio edition of In Touch Online for October 2023, with an introduction from the Provincial Grand Master. 33 Wiltshire Freemasons travelled to the International Conference Centre at Newport for what was an amazing day, as the quarterly communication meeting of the Grand Lodge was held outside London for the first time in over 100 years. Brethren from the north, south and west, we don't have an east, gathered together in glorious sunshine to experience the pageantry and ceremony that epitomises the fraternity's best traditions. The Grand Director of Ceremonies and his assistants had to be on point to make sure that everything was organised properly, which, given the venue was new to them, demonstrated their professionalism. Those of us who can recall Charles Hopkinson Woolley's running of the provincial meeting last year will not have been surprised that everything went very smoothly in Wales. I must say that I am looking forward to our own provincial Grand Lodge meeting on Thursday the 5th of October, and I am particularly keen to play a part in the new initiatives introduced by the Provincial Grand Director of Ceremonies, Barry Jordan Davis, and his team. Simply because we have done something for 10 or 20 years or more does not mean that it cannot be improved upon or changed in its entirety. Tradition is all well and good, and many traditions are well worth keeping. However, innovation and variation are also good, and change is often required to prevent our ceremonies from becoming stale and outdated. I'm pleased with the changes that Barry and his team have introduced for Provincial Grand Lodge in October, and especially the important role assigned to the Provincial Grand Stewards. Last month, I wrote about a new initiative in which every lodge and chapter will be invited to sign up to wiltshirefreemasons.org.uk. One of the ideas behind this initiative is that using a discrete email address provides for separation of personal emails from those related to the lodge, better security, and a more visible Masonic identity. I'm pleased to be able to advise that members of the provincial team are using the new mail as their default email address for all Masonic business, and the majority of lodge secretaries and chapter scribes have also signed up and are using the new system. Mark Newman and Colin Froud are the province's champions for this initiative and have been instrumental in getting this project up and running. If you have any issues setting up or using the system, please do speak to them and they will do all they can to assist you. Alan Coleman and Richard Legg were joined by their fellow cyclists, including Deputy Grand Superintendent Simon Ellingham, for their first ride in aid of the Wiltshire 2028 Festival. Members of the Widow's Sons led the riders as they left the planks. There are some pictures shown in this edition of In Touch Online that show just how much everyone enjoyed the event. As with all such events, the backup and support of brethren and their partners was absolutely key to its success, and I know everyone was grateful to Jason Woosnam for driving the support vehicle, and to Shirley Legg and Tina Phillips for providing moral support at the start. Also, a huge thank you to the lodges that turned out to welcome the cyclists when they arrived at each of their chosen locations. If you haven't already booked, please do register to attend the Christmas Carol Service in the Marlborough College Chapel on Sunday the 17th of December at 3 p.m. It really will be a wonderfully festive event, with lots of popular Christmas carols, mulled wine and mince pies. It's a great way for all the family to get into the festive spirit, and we are sure everyone will be pleased with the wonderful venue chosen for this very special event. Book today using the link on the webpage version of the newsletter. Joint organiser of the Wiltshire 2028 Festival Cycle Ride, Richard Legg, has filed his report on the inaugural Entered Apprentice event. The cyclists were welcomed to the Swindon Masonic Centre by Richard and Alan starting at 9 a.m. We completed the ride as a full group at around 4 p.m. back in Swindon. Due to variations in the ability of the brethren, the group did split at some stages. However, no brother was ever left behind. We started together and finished together. Our oldest entrant was Bob Ford at 76 years old, who completed 32 miles, the longest ride he has done, from Swindon to Carn via Highworth. Temperatures were high, which added to the challenge. However, refreshment stops for fluid and energy food, provided by some of the partners of entrants and lodge members, were available at each location we visited. I thought it would be nice to publish a few of the comments received from participants in the ride. The support crew were amazing and the route was a good one. Good to meet other Masons that I did not know and know that there are other keen cyclists out there. A great way to raise money and really looking forward to the next run. That's from Bruce Broughton Johnson, Gooch Lodge. A most enjoyable day taking in the Wiltshire countryside, visiting lodge buildings in the north of the county, but above all meeting new Masons from across the province. The route was designed to be as accessible as possible to cyclists of all abilities, and I feel the route, though challenging in places, met its aim. It was great to see a range of cycling abilities, and although most cyclists chose to use road bikes, credit has to go to those who tackled and completed the ride on mountain bikes. If you are in two minds whether to take part next year, I would say do it. You can cycle one leg, two legs, or the whole route. It's your choice. Richard Legg, Royal Sussex Lodge of Emulation. It was an amazing experience. I don't think I've ever cycled that far before, 32 miles, as I only do 8 to 10 miles locally. Must get a road bike next time. The support I received was amazing. It brought out the true spirit of Freemasonry. Bob Ford, Downton Lodge. A busy work-life schedule sometimes gets in the way of active Freemasonry. This was a good opportunity to do something different and healthy. I'm not as well travelled as I would like, and I was able to meet some old friends and make some new ones. This fundamentally is what I regard as one of the most important aspects of Freemasonry. As a now old soldier, my running for relaxation days are also coming to an end. I have been introduced to the social side of cycling, although I think I might avoid using a mountain bike in the future. I have been offered some top tips, as well as some traps to avoid. I now also know the location of 4 of our temples. This reduces my excuses not to visit in the future. Dave Rees, the Border Lodge. The event was very well organised with a great route, great support and great company from like-minded brethren. Nourishment provided was excellent and plentiful at the stops, and I'm sure we'll be all there next year and looking forward to a new route. Steve Hocking from New Temple Lodge. We're now gearing up for the Fellowcraft ride in 2024. Would you like to join us? Coffee time is any time and all the time, which makes the perfect Ashlar smooth coffee a surefire winner for Wiltshire Freemasons. And thanks to Mark Newman and Paul Sharp, you can experience the taste of this superb coffee at the annual meeting of Provincial Grand Lodge on Thursday the 5th of October. Coffee, tea and biscuits will be available in the reception area of the Civic by kind permission of the Civic Management, who have agreed to let all the profits from sales of the perfect Ashlar smooth coffee to be used to promote the Wiltshire 2028 Festival and Teddy's for Loving Care Wiltshire. Please do support this fabulous initiative and enjoy a drink before the meeting. Festival jewels, have you got yours? Asked Simon Leafield. Sometimes something is said that causes me to do a double take and ask the question, did you really say that? The something said was, I've not seen anything about how to get a festival jewel. That caused me to stop and think about how many times the festival and jewel have been mentioned in the monthly newsletter, Across the Plain, X, formerly known as Twitter, Facebook, and on the front page of the provincial website. The pragmatist in me simply put the question to one side and concentrated on the solution to the problem. The Wiltshire 2028 Festival Jewel has clearly captured the attention of many members of the province. So much so that the Provincial Grand Master has commented on the number of brethren wearing a jewel. It really is a nice jewel, and if you are unaware of the qualifying process for a festival jewel, your charity steward is the go-to person as the face of the festival in the lodge. A brother or companion qualifies for the festival jewel when they have given either £600 to the festival or signed up for a regular payment plan that will reach £600 by December 2028. Or a combination of the two. Jewels are available from the Provincial Communications Officer. Place your order by email to comms@wiltshirefreemasons.org.uk. And please pay £10 per jewel by bank transfer using the details on the website page for this newsletter. There are so many ways that lodges can support the Wiltshire 2028 Festival. Tony Ellis, Charity Steward of Lodge of Remembrance, meeting in Swindon, thought a nice enamelled lapel pin would be just perfect. Lodge Secretary Dave Barry presented a lapel pin to the editor and we are delighted to promote the lapel pin in this edition of In Touch Online. If you have an idea for raising funds for the Wiltshire 2028 Festival, all you have to do is discuss it with your lodge charity steward, who will undertake the necessary due diligence with the festival comms team. As long as it's legal and doesn't contravene any of the protocols governing what can and can't be done, there should be no problems. Festival Chairman Simon Leafield said, "What a superb lapel pin for many Freemasons. It'll be a great addition to their collection." Have you booked for Christmas? John Reed is looking forward to welcoming you, your family and your friends to a special Carols at Christmas in the beautiful surroundings of Marlborough College Chapel. Join John and the whole Wiltshire Masonic family as they sing popular carols in the week before Christmas. Book online with a link on the webpage, and remember, please tell us how many children you will be bringing. Mulled wine and mince pies will be served after the service in the Marlburian Hall. Is your chapter in the spotlight? Wiltshire St Aldhelm chapter has joined St Aldhelm Lodge in moving to a new home at the Masonic Hall, Emery Gate, Chippenham. Royal Arch Communication Officer, Comp David Clatworthy, is keeping companions across the province up to date with where and when chapters are meeting. Please do follow at PGC Wiltshire on X, formerly known as Twitter. To feature your chapter, please contact David, racomms@wiltshirefreemasons.org.uk. Have you noticed a new email address for your lodge and chapter? As part of the province's standardisation initiative, lodge secretaries and chapter scribes are being asked to sign up to @wiltshirefreemasons.org.uk. Many lodges and chapters already use Gmail, and some use Outlook to send and receive emails, while others use a personal email address, often the same one they use for all their correspondence. Using a distinctive wiltshirefreemasons.org.uk address offers greater security, increased privacy, and allows the lodge or chapter to transfer a unique email address to a successor in due time. The province does not have access to the content of emails sent and received using the email address @wiltshirefreemasons.org.uk, and all emails are private and confidential. Three great questions. It's always good to meet with the province's newest members, especially as they're always keen to ask the questions no one else does. At the recent Finding Your Feet event held at the Blank Swindon, three great questions were asked, and I'm delighted to say they were also answered correctly. After the event, a Freemason of over 24 hours standing posted a comment on X, formerly known as Twitter, that read, "Attending the Finding Your Feet workshop for new Freemasons this morning. I'm 24 years a Mason and still learning more." This comment really does sum up the truth of what Freemasonry is all about. The ancient charges, you can find them in the Book of Constitutions, point out that Freemasons assemble to work and to instruct and improve themselves in the mysteries of the ancient science. The learning and development team provides a forum for Freemasons at every stage of their journey to extend their researches and to make a daily advancement in Masonic knowledge. Question one was, what lodge offices can be held by an entered apprentice or fellow craft Freemason? The answer can be found by reference to Rule 145, Book of Constitutions. This rule makes it clear that no lodge may disqualify any member from holding office so long as he is not in default of his subscriptions. And Rule 104E provides that the appointment of all officers except the Master, Treasurer, and if elected the Tiler, is in the sole discretion and power of the Master. However, a wise master-elect would be very cautious in selecting and appointing an inexperienced and unqualified brother to hold an office for which they were clearly not ready. Common sense would rule the day. Question two was equally interesting. Where does the new initiate sit after the ceremony? The answer to this question is not to be found in the Book of Constitutions, but in the aptly named Information for the Guidance of Members of the Craft, and lest a brother think this to be a lesser tome than the Book of Constitutions, let me refer them to the third paragraph on page one, which confirms that the content of the Little Blue Book is an edict binding on the craft. Is this important? Yes, it is, as every master, upon taking office, promises to support 15 charges and regulations read to him by the lodge secretary. Number 10 ends with a promise strictly to conform to every edict of the Grand Lodge. The answer to the question is, in the northeast, immediately to the right of the senior deacon. Finally, to question number 3. Who decides what procedures are practiced in the lodge? Is it the master? For the answer, we turn once more to the Book of Constitutions and Rule 155 and note that the members present at any lodge duly summoned have an undoubted right to regulate their own proceedings. However, just to make it clear that the right is not unfettered, the rule continues, provided they are consistent with the general laws and regulations of the craft. An excellent paper on the role and authority of the master, written by Michael Lee, can be found in the preceptor's page on the provincial website. The ancient charge, number 5, read to him at his installation, is easily forgotten, that he will submit to the awards and resolutions of your brethren in general lodge convened, i.e. their wishes prevail over his, not vice versa. Rule 154 develops this. The lodge by resolution may specifically refer any matter in open lodge to such a committee for consideration and report, but no committee may be invested with any general executive powers. In sum, a committee may recommend a change to lodge practice, but only the lodge members themselves can enact it. Thank you for listening.